Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think we got a bad Is It Weird sample with Danny winning and not, quote-unquote, being weird, because on Twitter, you're getting pummeled for weirdness. But, hey, you can't argue with the results. You only get 5 votes in, and it was 3-2 in favor of you not being weird.
We need a new Brian Peck sounder. Is it rude or not? Is it rude?
Is it rude?
Because if it's rude, then I think I would have lost in a landslide.
You think, but you said you don't think it's rude at
all. Yeah, I don't think it's rude, but I can understand perspective.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcoming you back. The Beltway Blitz each and every day at that time. Let's kick it off. Chris Russell covers the Caps for us at 106.7 The Fan. Slasherini, 5 goals last night, an average of 6 apiece through 3 games, a record 18 in those contests. How about Evgeny Kuznetsov, 3 apples, 4 points?
Yeah, pretty good. TJ Oshie, of course, with our questioning after the game, told us in the media that he's a top 5 player in the NHL. Alex Ovechkin wouldn't exactly go there. He kind of just, you know, kind of dismissed all the talk, just said, you know, obviously he's good and he's alive and all the stuff that Alex says. Ty Reardon was great on him, especially about his shorthanded situations and winning faceoffs. Which I think is a big part of the evolution of Kuznetsov. And Evgeny himself said, I don't give a bleep about being a top 5 player or people thinking I'm a top 5 player. He doesn't care one bit.
Who really, besides the guys that scored, I thought, well, let me just jump right into what I actually want to get to. I thought Jacob Vrana was awesome last night. He was hunting for goals.
He was the best cap on the ice, and at least in the first period, Danny. You're absolutely right, and he had 5 shots on goal to lead them the entire game.
So
absolutely.
Ends up with very little to show for it, and he was a -1 for the game. Mm-hmm. I know everyone hates plus minus, but to me, that his development and his kind of surge this year, I think, is critically important to be able to, you know, to pick up for some of the lulls that are bound to happen for their frontline guys.
Yeah, I think it was a week ago or right before the season opener when you guys did the show over at MedStar Caps Iceplex. I think you guys asked me, who's the guy that's kind of, you know, under the radar that needs to jump up and stand up? And I said, well, for me, it was Vrana, because on that second line paired with Oshie, who you know is a stud, and Backstrom, who you know is a stud, if Vrana can develop into a true top 6 winger with that wicked cross-corner snapshot that he scored in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup final on, and the things that he's able to do last night, I mean, immediately from the drop of the puck, flying around, just buzzing all over the place. And then he had that one great golden opportunity in the third period where Fleury turns it over and he gets denied, but that's not his fault. He does nothing wrong. The bottom line is Vrana can make that second line, I don't want to say as elite as the top line, especially when Wilson's on the top line with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, but he can make it a 1A line instead of a 2 line.
What have you thought of Holtby so far? Shut out, 7 goals allowed, and then last night, 29 of 31 pucks stopped.
Thought he was great last night. He made, I don't know, Grant, you watch the game, you know, closely as much as I do. I don't see everything. I thought he made 8-9 point-blank, unbelievable, great saves, big-time stuff. I'm more worried about the defense. The defense was horrible in Pittsburgh. It was dreadful last night. It was very spotty in the preseason. It was great against the Bruins. How much of that was because of the emotions in the building and everything that went on that night, I don't know. I'm going to be really interested to see this defense, because it, again, has been just awful. And I'm trying to be kind here, against a very talented New Jersey team with the MVP, Taylor Hall, and Hirscher, who's a number 1 overall pick a year ago, and then on Toronto Saturday night against Austin Matthews, and oh yeah, John Tavares, the former Islander. They better wake up really quick.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you. Let's talk Redskins, Tommy. We bring on Craig Hoffman to do that very thing. Craig, you know about due process in our society. Everybody's entitled to the best defense that money can buy. I feel like you have to be a public defender here for Josh Doctson. He's under fire. Everyone's fed up. The heel now, it's a nagging thing, apparently. Give us the latest, and why should we be optimistic that something might come from this guy?
Well, I mean, if you're going to try to defend him, I mean, he would have been a limited participant in practice yesterday, which means he's trying to get out there, would be trying to get out there. It's not like he was a DNP. Obviously, we find out for real today with a real practice here in about 45 minutes. But I think he's going to try to play based off of that, the fact that he's not telling coaches, like, no, I still can't go. I think he probably on some level wanted to go on Monday night. He worked out pregame, and based off the fact that he didn't practice all week leading up, Jay Gruden held him out. So on some level, that was a coach's decision. Obviously, when you wind up going back looking at that tape, you go, man, they kind of could have used a guy that could go up and get some jump balls and one-on-one coverage, as Alex Smith finally threw a couple of those. And I think if you're trying to defend Doctson, you're going, why can't you throw that when he's on the field? Why are you throwing them to Jameson Crowder and Maurice Harris, but you won't throw them to Doctson? Give the guy a chance, because it's not like he is any less open than those other guys. So I think that's the defense for Doctson, and maybe if they see some similar coverages against Carolina, that maybe there's some opportunities there. But obviously we haven't seen it yet, and that makes it kind of hard to defend sometimes.
I think this Jay Gruden, Alex Smith meeting where they went over every play and Gruden kind of said at the podium, he wants me to call plays with more tempo, maybe quicker before the play.
I agree with that.
I think that that's a thing that needs to be talked about more. What do we know about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a meeting between coach and quarterback on basically every week. It's just this week's got a little bit more attention because they so clearly were not on the same page. They couldn't figure out what each other was wanting on Monday night. Alex couldn't execute the things that Jay wanted. And so I think that you put a little bit more emphasis and maybe we find out a little bit more than you go, hey, against Green Bay, after you guys were the best offensive team we've ever seen in the first half, how did that meeting go? Oh, it was great. We patted each other on the back and said, nice job. So I think that that is an interesting tidbit to come out of it, that Gruden specifically, even if it was just for 1 second, mentioned the tempo, that maybe Alex likes to have that time at the line of scrimmage to digest. And also, you know, you wonder if you kind of simplify things a little bit. Hey, don't let the other team substitute. Make it so they feel like they're on their heels, and that way I can operate quickly and I'm going to be more comfortable. At the end of the day, it is about making the quarterback comfortable. It is not really like the coach being comfortable you want, but it's got to be secondary to what the quarterback wants. And so if that's the tempo thing is going to help fix it and create some advantages there, then Jay needs to know where he's going with the next play, like have a couple of options ready, pick one, get it to Alex, and let Alex do his thing.
Craig, thank you, buddy. Have a great week. Rest of your week.
You got it. See you guys. See you, dude.
Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He is out at the park. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Had a couple of different people analyzing Alex Smith's performance yesterday with some interesting things to say, including our buddy Andy Benoit of SI and MMQB. We'll react to those comments. Get your thoughts on Smith next on The Fan. Of the way through Alex Smith's first year with the Redskins. Remember, they traded for him. Third-round pick, Kendall Fuller, and then locked him up to a fat contract. Paid him over $70 million, four-year extension with the Redskins, as the 33-year-old is going to be the guy for the next few campaigns. And the most important position on the field, the biggest decision you make is quarterback, so it stands to reason. Occasionally over the course of the year, including at the first major benchmark, this quarter poll, we kind of see where things are at. The trend isn't great in that he's played six straight quarters that he probably wants back. The second half against the Packers. By the way, in that game, everyone talks about that being like this awesome performance. He had 12 completions in that game.
Mm.
All game. Six passing yards after halftime. Then had the game that he just had against the New Orleans Saints. Played very well in the first couple of quarters against Green Bay. Played very well in the first couple of quarters against Arizona. And in each of those games, was kind of shut down in the second half. Didn't play well at all against the Colts. Didn't play well at all against New Orleans. So this is where we are through four contests. We had Andy Benoit on the show. Benoit, before the season, was telling us he did not like the fit for Alex Smith and Jay Gruden, and he came back on yesterday to discuss that in more detail.
Yeah, what made me nervous about it is Gruden's system is very timing and rhythm-based. and it demands an aggressiveness from the quarterback. And Kirk Cousins, it was always a fine line to walk with him because at times he could be too aggressive, especially when he had to go out of structure. But within structure, within the way the plays are designed, a quarterback has to be willing to throw at not tight windows, but very defined windows at a very defined moment. And Alex Smith has never been that kind of a timing and rhythm passer. He's always been a see it and then throw it passer. And the Chiefs over the years did a very nice job of building offensive designs accordingly to accommodate that. But that's not what Gruden's system does. So I didn't know if I was concerned that Gruden's going to get frustrated with Smith leaving throws on the field, playing off schedule a little bit. Now, to be fair, there have been up and down results. I'm describing only the down possibilities. But Alex Smith against Green Bay was sensational at pulling the trigger and making tight throws and having
jump
the gunslinger mentality.
And we'll let you hear the rest of that as he talked about the positives against Green Bay and what could benefit him moving forward. But in terms of what he's been down on, where it's a quote-unquote bad fit, I think a lot of that should make sense to people.
Right.
Just based on his career and what we've seen from him and what we've seen when this offense is humming under Jay Gruden.
So the timing, rhythm, throw it before the guy gets out of his break based on the look from the defense type throws.
Remember, that's all we heard about in training camp.
Yeah.
Reporters was like, oh, he throws guys open. He throws before they break. Where is that at?
Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
And that's, again, how you go through a career not turning the football over, right? That's how you go through a career always being a dependable starter that's not going to screw a team over.
Name a guy who doesn't throw picks, and I will say that exact same guy doesn't make a lot of throws where you're anticipating and you're throwing before a player gets to a spot. See Tyrod Taylor, who doesn't do that at all. See Robert Griffin, who didn't do that at all. See Alex Smith.
And so some of the criticisms, and believe it or not, they're out there, of guys like Aaron Rodgers even. Now, he's so mega talented. He's such a Superman that he sometimes is not a quote-unquote anticipation thrower. He'll see a window, see the guy open, and then because his release is so quick and he's got such a shotgun, or he makes plays improvisationally, etc. I've even heard anybody criticize him, not criticize, but point that out as well about him. And this is one of the greats of all time. So not being an anticipation thrower is not the end of the world, right? There's a trust factor that's there. Every once in a while, it would work out for someone like a Kirk Cousins. Say, think of the Seattle game where Josh Doctson made that brilliant route diving catch to basically set up the game-winning touchdown. Cousins threw it 3 seconds before he was open. He did not have separation at that point. He came on our show and talked about, quote, Doctson making him right, etc. Those are the good ones. The bad ones are when you throw it and a guy has a different read as you and breaks a different direction and it's an interception, you go, who the hell were you throwing it to? Well, that's the bad version of anticipation throwing. So it's not the end of the world necessarily, but when you have an offense like Jay Gruden's and like the way this system and scheme are designed to get receivers open, not having anticipation throws means a lot of times you're going to leave a lot of yards on the field, which is what happened this past Monday.
Another thing Benoit didn't necessarily hit on, but you'll hear him reference this as we continue in a moment, is over the last few years, I thought that part of what made this passing game great was that it really operated from Reed and Crowder out, and that Chris Thompson came on in a big way last year on some screens and even some things, middle of the field slants and what have you. But Reed was always heavily involved. He was going to get his 8-9 targets. He was going to get his 7-8 catches. Crowder was going to be focused on sometimes too much. He was going to get 9-10 targets a lot of weeks and catch 6-8 balls. You're not seeing that at all. That's what surprises me. More Benoit from yesterday's show.
Having the gunslinger mentality, and we saw the results. But there have been a lot of games this year where Alex Smith is what he is. He's going to be a little bit of a dink and dunk passer. I think the silver lining, though, guys, is the Redskins do have the personnel to win with some of that dinking and dunking. I know they didn't do it the other night, but Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, these are all Jamison Crowder. These are all middle of the field, underneath, over the ball receivers, and that plays well to Smith's strength. So I'm cautiously more optimistic than I was before, but overall, I'm still pessimistic.
That's Benoit, who studies all the film and has been right about this to this point on our show yesterday. Opportunity to get your thoughts, your reactions to that on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. A few of the questions I would throw out there. First and foremost, what do you think of Smith so far through four games? in this offense. Second, would it be overstated to say you're concerned about the passing attack coming off of not just the New Orleans game, but the second half against Green Bay? I mean, really, if they've played eight halves so far, wouldn't you say as a passing game, they've looked really good in two of them? Isn't that fair?
Two halves.
Right.
Right. I didn't say a total of three quarters, because you think about the Arizona game, that was about Adrian Peterson early and often. That was a check down to him that went for a long game.
But I don't
want
to take anything away from Smith, because everything that he was asked to do, he executed brilliantly.
Fair.
I want to say he was like 12 of 15. I mean, he put on a clinic in the first half.
Two halves out of eight. They've had a good passing game.
So a quarter of the time, they've had a good passing game.
Yes.
Basically.
Four of 16 quarters, two of eight halves, whatever you want to do.
Because what I keep hearing over and over and over again is, oh, it's a game. Well, yeah, it was one game, and it was a half before that, and then it was a game before that, and then it was a half before that. So I don't think we should just be overly dismissive of a sample size thing here. There's been more bad than good with their passing game, and they got too many weapons for that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they are the Chicago Bears, who went out and added a bunch of talent with pass catchers, or one of the elite in football in terms of who you're throwing to. But Reed, special weapon. Crowder, terrific talent. Paul Richardson, we've now seen, 46-yard catch, 23-yard catch, can make leaping acrobatic plays and can make you right down the field. Whatever you think of Doxson or Maurice Harris, you know, the depth at the position is first-round pick, guys who have thrived in this offense previously at different times. Thompson as a pass-catching running back. That list starts with James White.
Yep.
Then it's like the best of the rest after that. Chris Thompson's near the top of that contention for number two in the league in that area. Vernon Davis, really good second tight end as a pass catcher. See, you can't tell me they don't have enough talent that that's the problem. It hasn't been a problem in previous seasons. 800-636-1067 is the number. Your thoughts on Alex Smith, if you're concerned, what is your level of concern on the passing attack? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Gruden's system is very timing and rhythm based, and it demands an aggressiveness from the quarterback. And Kirk Cousins, it was always a fine line to walk with him, because at times he could be too aggressive, especially when he had to go out of structure. But within structure, within the way the plays are designed, a quarterback has to be willing to throw at not tight windows, but very defined windows at a very defined moment. And Alex Smith has never been that kind of a timing and rhythm passer.
That's Andy Benoit of SI and the MMQB on the show yesterday. We're asking you for your thoughts on Alex Smith a quarter of the way through the Redskins season. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Daryl in Alexandria. Hey, Daryl, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How about yourself, man? I'm enjoying the show, but I just wanted to call and make a comment and say that the offense is pretty much the same as it was last year. It's like the yards are just coming in different ways. The offense was pretty average last year, and it's pretty average this year as well. But it's just instead of us getting a bunch of meaningless passing yards at the end of the game, we're just getting rushing yards throughout, typically rushing yards throughout most of the game, as opposed, like, besides the Colts game. But roughly the offense is pretty stagnant like it was last year. We don't really have a downfield, a very adequate downfield threat, and that's just basically what we have.
Appreciate you, buddy. First of all, in two of their four games, they haven't done anything rushing the football. That's the problem. Two of them, they've been very good. Two of them, they haven't. Specific to the offense being the same this year as last year, right now the Redskins rank 22nd in offense. Last year, they ranked 14th. You mentioned passing yards at the end of games. It didn't mean anything. They didn't play that many games. where they were in games that didn't mean anything. They played a lot of one-possession games.
Through four games, that's not the case. Now, if you're saying this offense looked like it did at times last year, once everybody was hurt, including Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed wasn't himself, the offensive line wasn't any good because of injury and a bunch of subs, yeah, that's what it looked like later in the season.
And you're healthy right now.
Like against the Chargers, when they got drubbed 30-13, that's what the offense looked like it did against the Colts, like it did against New Orleans there on Monday night. That's the same.
There were basically two games last year, by the way, that were blowout losses where you could say they put up a bunch of yards that didn't mean anything. The Cowboys and the Chargers games back-to-back on the end of November and then the beginning of December. That was kind of it. Everything else was either they won the game or it was super competitive or it was close into the fourth quarter. But that said, I think the larger point, you know, if you're comparing to last year, which I don't care about, they're 2-2 right now. They were 2-2 each of the last three seasons through four games. But the trend, a year ago after 4 weeks, they were coming off that dominant win over the Raiders, and then they had just played the really good road game in Kansas City on Monday Night Football.
Well, they had it.
So the difference was last year in week four, they fell to 2-2, just like this year they fell to 2-2, both on Monday Night Football. Last year you left that game going, damn, if Doxson would have caught that pass. They almost beat one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, or if Jay Gruden managed the clock correctly and you just kicked a field goal to win it. I mean, there's a million things that came out of that game that were frustrating, but you felt you're right there. There's no panic after week four last year. There's panic this week.
Also, the last 2 years, in their fifth game, they won, and they got to 3-2. So, not that there's pressure to keep up the pace, but I guess the point would be if you're just comping them to a season ago, they won this coming week, and they were 3-2 through five games. Let's go to Corey in Fort Washington. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Grant and Danny. How you guys doing?
Good, Corey.
Doing
what's up?
Well.
Hey, man, I think Alex Smith is who we thought he was before he came to the Washington Redskins. I mean, unless he has a great running game and great receivers, I don't think he's a great quarterback. Besides that, he's just mediocre. He's a dink-and-dunk quarterback, and he's going to be average. But we knew this when we got him. I think as fans, we tend to be naive, and we just wanted to make ourselves feel better because we let Kirk Cousins go. But we can't expect this guy to be spectacular unless he has spectacular weapons on the team. He's going to be a mediocre quarterback. We're going to be a mediocre team until we get a better quarterback, and we never should have let Kirk Cousins go. Point blank, period. That is the only way to look at it.
Corey, thanks for the call. Again, I don't know that we got to make everything that the Cousins referendum, but I understand how it's going to get there positively and negatively at different times.
It's relevant because of decision making, but yes, the endless comparison is exhausting.
I would love to be able to just have the Smith conversation. I understand why that's difficult to do.
Right.
Here's one thing I would add, though. He said Smith is mediocre, which I largely agree with. I think he's a good quarterback. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league, which makes you mediocre, basically, because that's the middle bucket.
Yeah, if middle of the pack is mediocre, then so be it. Yeah.
It's easier to be good than it's ever been before. And if you're the 15th best quarterback in the league, you're mediocre, even if that means, quote-unquote, you're good, you're a starting caliber quarterback. However, you have seen in San Francisco, at the end of his road, and in Kansas City over the last few years, that you don't have to be mediocre with him as your quarterback. You can be much better than that. You can win 11 games. You can flirt with 12 games in wins in a season. You can get out of the first round of the playoffs. I believe the Chiefs only won one playoff game while he was there, but you can do that. You can potentially make a run. You just need to be able to play really good defense and run the ball. The problem is when you pay him really substantial amounts of money, as is the case with Kirk Cousins or anybody else, it does get a little bit harder to build running game and defense, which is why the Chiefs moved on from him and said, we're not paying him because he's not good enough to. And it's why the 49ers moved on from him and said, we're not going to pay him because we'd rather pay another guy who's just as good or better less. Dan's in Fairfax. What's up, Dan? How are you?
Hey, Dan.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man.
When we lost to the Saints, I felt like the Nazis when they opened up the Ark of the Covenant and their faces melted off. But I think Alex Smith had no time to throw, and I think he should run more. He's new to this offense, and he will get better as the season goes on. He needs to stop throwing the receivers, and then they get popped like what happened to Peterson and Thompson. And we have to come to terms with the fact that the Saints were just better on Monday.
No,
and
were.
Danny, I love you, brother, but it's kind of weird that you left without saying goodbye to Grant.
Thank you, Dan.
And Tommy, and Dar.
Yeah, it's fine. So anyway, to the point about he'll get better, I actually agree with that. I think he will be better in this offense because we forget.
He's not going to play that bad again.
Yeah. The definition of what's better here, meaning is there that low of a floor again? I'm going to argue probably not. Now, does that mean he's going to be humming like he was in year 5 or 6 with Andy Reid, where everything is just second nature? Probably not. But we forget this is, even though he's a genius basically when it comes to football acumen and picking up the offense and terms and everything else, this is still a brand new experience. He doesn't have rhythm yet with Jamison Crowder. He doesn't have rhythm yet with Jordan Reed. I'd encourage you to get some by just giving him the damn football, and I would do it early and often. But I'm with Dan, actually. I would run a little bit more, whether that's a couple zone read looks just to make people respect it. Right now, the Redskins' offense looks very solvable if you're a defensive coordinator. You're probably licking your chops if you're in Carolina in a meeting room right now. It looks like you have a nice formula to negate what they want to do. You got to go against type a little bit. Whether that means, I don't know, not running on first down sometimes and getting the ball to Jordan Reed or running some jet sweeps or something, you got to do something different. And that, you know, speaks to where they are at this point.
Jay is in the city. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up? Sorry for calling again. I'm just frustrated. You guys watch more football than me. I just want to know, when is he throwing a good pass this season? Like, people keep saying...
That's not fair, Jay.
Jay, you dropped the dime to Crowder when they were down by 70. I mean, that was a nice throw.
We're talking about 2 or 3 passes, though. Like, even the pass he threw down the field to Richardson in a Green Bay game was an off pass.
Yeah, that was not a good ball.
I just don't like him. I haven't liked him when he was in Kansas City. He doesn't throw the ball to wide receivers. Everything that you guys said, everything Danny said yesterday about Jordan Reed and Crowder, all before the season, we said Jordan Reed and Crowder are going to eat all season because that's all he does. Why isn't he doing it? Where's the plan? What happened to the plan? Why does he have to come into the media and say, hey, he needs to make me more comfortable in the pocket? Why weren't they doing that in preseason? Like, what's going on?
Well, they weren't playing in the preseason. Thanks, you may remember. He played less in the preseason than he ever has in his veteran years as a quarterback. I can't argue with a lot of what you just said. I mean, it's kind of along the lines of how I felt about him for a while. The couple of throws I do remember, everyone went nuts about his touchdown throw to Crowder. That was like a 4-yard slant. I thought that was a little bit overstated, but it was definitely a good ball in a small window. We've seen that a lot over the years in those goal line plays within breaking routes, which I like. The best throw he had the other night was that gorgeous pass that he dropped in the bucket to Crowder when they were down a million in the second half.
It's a great throw.
He also made it. The next throw actually was outstanding to Maurice Harris to get down to the goal line. It was an open throw, but it was a very good throw. One other throw I remember, it was at home. I can't remember if it was the Colts or if it... Yeah, it was. It was definitely the Colts game. He made a throw basically between zoning defenders to Jordan Reed in the middle of the field. That was a small window kind of... That's the one. We need that all the time.
A huge drive in the second quarter of the Packers game when it's still in doubt. They're backed up inside their own 5. He threw an absolute missile to Jordan Reed for a 30-plus yard gain that changed field position, that extended the drive. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
I think it was like, you're right, it was from the end zone. The play started at the 5. It was about 15 yards in the air, and then Reed got 17 after the catch.
Yeah, that was one of those, yes, please. Oh, my God, why wouldn't you just try to do that all the time?
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We could take your calls on Alex Smith if you've got him at 800-636-1067. Also look at the matchups for the rest of the NFC East this weekend, including tonight, the Giants hosting the Eagles. Some position at stake in the division. You're listening to the Fan. Our buddy Warren Sharp at 1 right here on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Guylo on Twitter says, another thing I can't really get upset about, says the Redskins poorly evaluated the situation, signed Smith to an extension. I think we actually needed an Alex Smith proof the offense and the team. Sucks you have to say that about a 34-year-old, but what else can you do? 4 games in, Smith right now on pace for 16 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. Redskins not making some of the big plays over the years that this offense has needed and thrived upon. How you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you worried about Smith? Mike's in Georgia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
Mike, I'm going to throw you back on hold because you've been waiting a little while. Let's go to Tom in the play. To Tom, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
I'm good. Listen, guys, For 3 years, whenever we talked about Kirk Cousins, we were always in a constant state of comparing him with other quarterbacks. when Alex Smith got here, it was a constant state of comparison and how he was a step beyond Kirk Cousins and his beautiful abs and everything great about it. Okay, so now that he's laid an egg and we don't want to compare him, no, well, I'm going to compare. I've seen Kirk Cousins under duress with this Redskin team, and now I've seen Alex Smith under duress with this Redskin team. I just think Kirk is a notch better, and it matters, and that's it.
Well, I mean, he very clearly is better. Anyone who at this point hasn't seen that yet is they're not watching the same games, or they've made up their mind for whatever reason. And I understand it. You know, it's the reason I said a couple minutes ago to the caller, I said, hey, let's try not to make this just a Cousins debate again. I understand how hard it is not to, but I would have said the same thing if it was an anti-Cousins call. So I was just trying to be fair and say on a pro-Cousins call to do the same thing. But they are inextricably linked in the same way that early on we couldn't talk Cousins without talking Griffin.
And they should be, because, again, it's decision-making from the organization. It's important, and that's really why we're doing all of this, you know? So, to me, again, this is the thing the mistake that's been made here, the glaring one. So, regardless of how you feel about Cousins or Smith, if you're Smith, like, there's a guy that tweets us every 17 seconds about Alex Smith because it was one loss record and is doing everything he can to bend over backwards to tell me that he's better.
Well, I probably have that guy so muted because I don't see any of those tweets.
I don't care about your perspective on this. Here's what I do care about. Cousins is in a bucket, and Smith is in a bucket. If you ask either one of those guys to be a superhero, you're going to be disappointed. There are only a handful of guys that can be superheroes, okay? If you ask Cousins to be the superhero, which Minnesota's doing, they thought they had a better offense than this.
Yeah.
You're going to be 2-2. You'll end up being disappointed. You'll miss the playoffs, or you'll be 8-8, or maybe you get a 9-7 record,
he's
right?
He's going to play really damn good in the process.
He's going to play great.
Without
put up great
him,
numbers.
They're 0-4 right now.
If you ask Alex Smith to do it, you'll get even worse results just in terms of wins and losses and offensive effectiveness. It's a mistake to team build and ask a quarterback to be a superstar when he is not a superstar. A guy is either good, pretty good, whatever you want to call either of those guys, it's a mistake. That's what's coming home to roost right now. They don't have the Kansas City recipe here. And that was our problem initially with the trade. I like Alex Smith. I am glad he's here. He's a veteran. He's a leader. He's not going to screw you too often, even though I did this past Monday. But you ain't bringing Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Andy Reid with you. You've got this collection of stiffs on the outside, and apparently no chemistry with the guys on the inside at this point.
Difference is, you put all that on Cousins' plate, you're going to have a chance every single week. You put all that on Alex Smith's plate, you're going to get your doors blown off by the Saints. Cousins second in passing yards right now, sixth in passer rating in the NFL, if we want to get into that conversation. But right now we're talking Smith here in D.C. Mike in Georgia, how are you?
I'm all right.
You're on the radio.
I think that Kirk Cousins right now has better pieces than what the Redskins have.
Well, no doubt.
Agree there, yeah.
And for them, I think when the offensive line plays bad, the Redskins play bad. You look at the Colts game, we got manhandled by the Colts offensive on defensive line. Trent Williams and them, they didn't pan out. And the results showed. Same thing that happened Monday night. Yeah, Alex Smith could have made a lot of better decisions. But if you look at the tape, our offensive line got manhandled again. Smith was getting pressure from every angle. Every angle. Some guys at the front line need to step up and block better. And we can have a running game. And we do need pieces downfield, like, to throw the ball to. Bring in Dez Bryant. Bring in somebody, because we don't have no top receivers.
No, thank you on Dez Bryant, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. You're right. The offensive line needs to play better. There were several occasions where there were open receivers with plenty of time and they weren't hit. Either by way of accuracy, which normally is not a problem for Alex Smith, by the way.
Right.
I feel great about his short and intermediate accuracy. Wasn't good the other night, but typically it is. But that's not the only problem. You can't say, oh, the offensive line was awful. What about the plays where they weren't? Well, was it their fault on 4th-and-2 when Smith ran 11 yards into the backfield, had an open receiver for a touchdown, and an open receiver for Jordan Reed for a first down, and then threw off his back foot for a terrible interception that ended the game effectively? Alan Centerville, how are you?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I think everyone needs to calm down. We need to give the guy a little more time. The last caller really made some good points as far as, and you guys too, the blocking. If the blocking's not there, you're not going to give him time. I mean, of course, it's going to fall apart. We also need to stop comparing him to Kirk Cousins. I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins is a lot better than Alex Smith. And this is all I really want to say is, give him more time. We need to be more patient. Let's see where we're at halfway through the season. But also, not to change the subject, I'm worried about our backups in our running game. That's something else you guys could touch on later.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth questions. So let me rebut that one. It's a great call. Appreciate that. Let me rebut that in terms of patience. If this is a rebuild, let's be as patient as we want to be, but it ain't. You don't trade young assets and a draft pick and not sign a quarterback that's at least at a minimum fine.
But I don't think he's saying necessarily you can't have an opinion yet. I think all he's saying is, in 4 weeks, Smith's going to be more comfortable and look a lot better.
I'm fine to be optimistic in that way. But to me, this is we need to view this as a team that wants to compete and believes they can right now. And you've got through 4 weeks, the only sample that we have, two absolute duds in four games, really two good halves in out of eight. It's absolutely worth making a judgment in my mind. Because, again, this team shouldn't be pussyfooting around and losing games like they did against the Colts. They shouldn't be getting the doors blown off against New Orleans because their evaluation of themselves said, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
That's my view of it.
I do think he will be much better off in a month. I think learning a new offense can be difficult.
But I agree there.
This is an offense pretty similar to some of what he's operated. And when you trade for a 33-year-old that's going to be 34, you do that because you feel like the learning curve and some of the process he's got to go through to get to a point where he's playing winning football is going to be quicker and expedited. Now, I think you could get a rookie up to speed by halfway through the season. You could have drafted a kid at number 13 or whatever that could have been ready by week 8. And you see what Baker Mayfield and some of these guys are doing around the league right now. Warren Sharp is very smart, and we like his analytical view of football. We get wiser every time he comes on the show. He will join us next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.